Hey everyone, it's Zach with the another of our New York Comic Con interview podcasts. This time you're going to get to hear our when we sat down for the roundtable interviews with the couple of Adult Swim shows. So first up, you'll hear us on the roundtable with Doc Hammer and Jackson Publick, the creators of Venture Brothers. And then you'll hear Robot Chicken, Matt Seinrich, and Brecken Meyer. Take a listen to those. Some pretty funny stuff, some great questions and great stories from those guys. If you want more from us, you can go to www.everythingnation.com. Check out all of our other New York Comic Con photos and videos and podcasts. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/everything.action, twitter.com/evaction, everythingaction.tumblr.com, and contact@everythingaction.com is our email. So enjoy the interviews and keep checking back for more.
I feel like I should.
By the way, kudos on the outfit.
Thank you.
Yeah, my costume.
Oh, my back.
Oh my god, sit like this in a speed suit. Your balls are just like. Yeah.
They're getting cleaved.
Ow. Want that?
I like it. It's an embrace. It's a genital embrace of my own pants. That is also my shirt.
What's up? What do you want to know?
All right. I have a quick question. So I noticed that the ongoing theme of season 5 was making fun of how ineffectual Doctor of the Monarch is. And I wondered, in the end, he allegedly breaks Dr. Venture. But is there a possibility of you're taking the Monarch to a darker, to an evil Dr.
Light type
of twist?
An evil what?
Dr. Light type of twist. So, you know, in Dr. Light, in the DC universe, he's ineffectual with the Teen Titans. He's always going after them. They keep overcoming him. All of a sudden, now, reboot him, and he's evil.
Oh. When you said Teen Titans, I thought you said Teen Titans.
Yeah.
And I was like, are they making Teen Titans now?
We have seen that.
Football Teen Titans?
I have not followed Dr. Light's saga, but...
Then never mind it. I'm taking
no,
it
No, I mean, we make a comedy show.
Yeah.
So...
Well, I don't mean, like, turn him into a racist, but... I mean, not racist, but rapist. But right. Just make him slightly
I think he rapes. I mean, you know, he's a super villain.
And I think he's a racist.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's a rapey racist.
Yeah. He doesn't like the Irish.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe because he, you know, he doesn't know much about his own family life, so it's possible that he is Irish. Okay. We're just making this up.
I agree.
That's old-fashioned American racism. You don't see anti-Irish.
Yeah, you don't see that anymore.
That's a throwback.
Yeah, not since 1910.
Not since the Italian showed up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you guys got the chance to go to a Venture yard sale, what's the one item you would buy?
At the Venture yard sale?
At the Venture yard sale.
A lightsaber, right? People have a working... What else did they have at the yard sale that was cool?
Well, in that specific episode or in a yard sale that they could have?
Also, shrink ray? Would you just empty your bank account for shrink ray?
I really would.
Yeah, who would just have to think about it?
I want the hover bike.
What does it run on? You know that you'd buy it. No, you'd buy it.
Hover really.
No, exactly. You'd buy it, then you'd be like, I don't even know where to get phosphate fuel. Like, then the hover bike's in the garage.
And if I got them, I wouldn't know how to superheat them.
Yeah.
So how am I going to get them?
Then it becomes like a Nordic track. Like you have laundry over the hover bike, and then it becomes this like thing that reminds you of. Yeah.
It's still a nice piece of industrial design.
Or the...
it would make a good light.
Not only the Nordic Trek, the folded-up treadmill that people have in their homes, and none of them are functioning. Oh, can I use your treadmill? No, nobody uses it. No, it reminds us of when we wanted to get in shape and never did a damn thing about it.
What's the writing process for you guys like? Like, what the hell do you...
It's like this without you guys. Just goofing around and then, like, that's...
Yeah. And a lot of not talking until somebody says something, and then you go, oh, yeah.
So. Going on the internet and reading mail, and then somebody goes, all right, so I'm thinking, and then we'll face each other. We're men. We don't like to look at each other that much. You know what I mean? Two guys, one
We get a big board, though. We get excited about our big board.
Yeah, huge dry erase board.
That's been a boon to our writing.
Yeah. We'll fill that marker right up. And then we take a picture of it. And then we use it as, like, sometimes we print it, and then it looks like one of us, it's me. Looks like I'm an idiot because all my writing is kind of on a little bit of a slant. Because it's big, I'm writing big, you can't control straight. But when you print it small, it looks like I'm one of these people that can't stop, that always has their right-handed slope. But I'm not.
So I know your work is inspired. Like you got your creative juices from like Johnny Quest, but any certain episodes that kind of like, yes, I want that in my show now.
Every once in a while, we'll tick on Johnny. Like Johnny Quest, at this point,
it's more of a symbol than
it's,
right.
Yeah, it's more of like a nervous habit than it is anything that really affected our show. The world, the look, and all those things were a catalyst.
Right. The sort of genre that didn't actually exist, like Johnny Quest, there were like a couple of things that were like this little bit of sci-fi, a little bit of adventure,
yeah,
you know, crossover with like guys who are industrial scientists.
It
what
promised
the hell
us
genre
it,
was that? That didn't,
yeah, it promised us super science
place,
yeah,
is
yeah,
what it was.
Mm-hmm. But everyone's more will pull stuff like the Walking Eye is
I mean,
like a
biggest
childhood memory of like this ridiculous thing that may or may not have happened.
Right.
And then we pulled it out and fetishized it, and then we went back and actually watched the episode, and it's not anywhere near as glorious as
yeah,
we
it's like lavender.
Yeah. It's lavender. It comes out of like a weird, like hover planchette.
Yeah,
yeah. From the Ouija.
What else? Oh, and the guy with the giant like crab monsters and stuff who wants to wrestle Ray's bat. That was like that was a big one, and we never got to really use that.
No, we've been doing that for years.
We
remember the Walking Eye one where
guy
he was talking about it like it was his wife.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my precious.
Yeah, yeah. Get
me some milk on the way.
He was fetishizing
home.
It.
Yeah. It's dirtier than you remember that shit.
Yeah,
it's
yeah
a little like there's an oiliness to it that you don't want to
yeah
think about.
I mean, like it's when you see it, it's like, oh man, there's like some madman executive just getting hammered and like pointing at things like, yes, this is what we need. Minorities,
for
race,
us, it's like
women.
This weird after-school memory of a show that was syndicated, and I also remember it had a lot
cooler
of black.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
They
looked
like
a comic book.
Yeah.
It's the only show that looked like a comic book.
Right. Right.
What's up with you, crappy Spider-Man cartoon? Why can't you look like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's awful. Yeah, we didn't have good Marvel when we were kids. It was crappy Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
Marvel now is awesome. We had good Marvel comics. We had shitty Marvel TV.
Yeah,
it was
awful.
Well, I missed something. When I was a kid, I had the New Adventures of Johnny Quest, which was like, ugh.
Oh, that's bad.
I know.
Yeah. I've never seen one.
You never?
Yeah, no,
did not.
It was
no,
run
I don't
at the
get
same
anywhere near it.
Just
I think that he's gonna like have a skateboard or something. Like it's even
yeah, a hoverboard.
Almost.
Yeah, it came from that like era of like, let's do what other kids like it.
Yeah.
Bunch
yeah
of old guys like, you know what the kids are like today? They like skateboards and cussing and rock music.
Especially with like Johnny Quest Extreme or something.
Jackson, I was at the Night Vale Live show last night, which was fucking awesome.
Oh, cool.
And you were great at it.
Thanks.
I was wondering which of McDaniel's five heads is your favorite?
Jeez. Either the gold or the green, I guess. Those are the only two who really get to talk. I like them for different reasons.
Green is the angry one.
I've never even fucking heard Night Vale. What do you think?
I'm
kidding, I have heard Night Vale.
I was about to be like, oh, no support between, no creative line.
No, we were just talking about Night Vale earlier, right?
Yeah, it's a great challenge.
I didn't think that pushing the kids out of like the cloning process and letting them grow up and taking Brock out of the family would work, but it's been excellent. I loved it. I mean, why did you guys decide to let them grow up?
Because they have to grow up. It's, you get stuck in this kind of like Bart Simpson lie if you don't let them grow up. And that's a cool thing to do, is to have this week of somebody's life take 20 years to tell. But we have a habit of making things happen and then matter and then referring to them later. So when you break your toe, you now have, it, when it rains, your toe kind of hurts. I like that.
Right.
Instead of it never happening.
And also, they had to be people for us to write.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't just be these like dork ciphers who talk like it's the 50s, you know? And
yeah.
Just developing it. We just had to make shit happen and make them talk like people.
It's hard to write for people who don't care.
Yeah.
At the
at the end of the season, we saw Gary kind of return to the Monarch and Dr. and Mrs. the Monarch, and I'm just kind of curious, after seeing that season-long progression of Gary trying to build up his own Sphinx or working with the OSI and really working with, like, gaining that weird friendship with Shoreleave and Barak, it kind of, to me as a fan, it kind of feels like a regression for the character. From your standpoint, do you guys feel like it's kind of Gary regressing to somewhere safe to a certain extent, or?
I think what happens, the way I look at it, is that Gary went through a lot. Like, he decided that I'm going to be my own man. You saw how that worked out. He kind of, nothing really became of it. He ended up living in the Venture's yard, but I think he became his own man. So when he returns home, like, it's home.
Yeah.
It's right. You know, it's, when he returns home, he has gone through something. And that's what we're writing for next season, is somebody that has returned home and has lived as a man. I mean, if qualified, right, to his home. You know, the Monarch is this weird, it's
a prodigal son who will have to demand to be treated like an adult man.
By a person who is barely an adult himself. You know? Yeah. And so it's...
I wish we had gotten to spend more time on it. Like, yeah, you know, the 10-episode thing instead of the 13. Like, we did... Yeah, there are some blanks you have to fill in yourself now. Like, probably,
and you'll get a...
Probably Gary had more...
We're excited times about that. That's something we're really working on in season 6, is that union of these people that have been through a lot and come together. And, you know, the Monarch's abuse of Gary for as long as he's existed in the show, which is like season 1, right?
Yeah,
so he's always been there and never been accepted. And then you see, clearly, Monarch is kind of, he's his friend, which has never happened. You know, and you saw that happening season before, where Monarch would be hanging out in their room and talking to 21 and 24.
Right, about, like, Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. Hanging out there, you know, by the way, like, you,
I would brush your hair.
Yeah. So, like, they've always been kind of, but Monarch didn't want to admit that he actually likes these two aspects.
No, it's like Monarch's finally come around to the idea that, oh, the supporting character is actually a main character the way we have.
Yeah. So, you'll get more of that. But for us, it was a return home. You know, he's done all these things, and now he just happened to be on the doorstep. And if you remember how it happened, it was almost an inquisitive, I'm home. Like, I happen to be in this location, and you guys are standing there. So, you're extrapolating. But you'll find out.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it.
Aw,
thanks. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it, guys.
I was going to ask, so you did do that.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah, we're geeks.
That's exactly the reason.
Yeah. Like, we're super geeks.
Yeah. How much drugs do you have to take to do this?
I always say, not that much. I was going to say, probably of the main core, I can only think of one of maybe the main core who does a little bit.
Really?
I know.
No, maybe it's surprisingly a drug-free show. I think it's the release that because we're getting to play with the characters, the toys, we don't have to do the drugs.
And I also think because a lot of us are very socially awkward, that it gives them an outlet to project that. Yeah. That's probably what ends up happening.
Keeping people off drugs.
Yeah.
Yes. The show.
It's really what we do.
Although I understand a lot of our viewers really liked, according to my Twitter account, really think that we are using some wonderful
and some of our fans, it seems, don't hate drugs. That's all right, too.
I mean, you would think that with, you know, sketches like Ron Jeremy's Butter and Boardwalk Monopoly.
I couldn't believe they let us do that one.
Yep. Both based on
how did that
stories
come about?
The Ron Jeremy's
both
Butter?
Both of those, because there's another one.
That was just a random pitch that someone did, and we were just... It just was animated. It's so gross. Like, again, that's one of those where it's on the page. You're like, oh, that's just weird. And then you see it, and you're like, oh, my God, I can't believe we did that. The Boardwalk Monopoly, almost dropped. We actually thought that was going to be very boring because it was a very slow-paced. And it wasn't until, oh, my gosh, I just blanked on his name. Did the voice.
F. Murray Abraham.
No, you're not going to get it. But it was the voice record that sold that one.
F. Murray Abraham.
It was not F. Murray Abraham, but I can say that it was. And it's going to kill me for the
Daniel
rest of this
Radcliffe
interview that I cannot. No,
Daniel
it was
Radcliffe
not. But he has done voices for us.
Robert Downey Jr.
He has not done voices for us yet.
Chris Evans.
He has no voice. Keep going.
I know Scarlett Johansson didn't voice.
Yes,
right?
She did. She played herself.
Yep. How do you? I guess it seems that they're beating your door to do voices, I guess?
Not first season. No, first season was not that case. First season, we were begging people. Like, we were literally calling... Seth was calling in every favor he had in Hollywood to get people in that first season. And then once it actually came out and people understood what our show was and then saw the list of people that we had do it, that's when it turned around for us. Because we had, like... First season was, like, the whole Scooby-Doo crew did it. Burt Reynolds and Dom DeLuise did it.
Anybody
who'd work with Seth came in. And Ryan Seacrest did it. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget, because it was the greatest line that he ever said. He's like, look, I understand that I'm a tool, and it's my job to be a tool, but I'm going to be the best damn tool there is. I was like,
mission accomplished.
I'm so impressed right now, because I didn't know what to think of you, and now I love you in a weird way, because you're not my cup of tea on TV, but that's okay. You're not for me.
This season, who can we expect?
This season, we had George R. R. Martin.
I was about to say, Speaking of people who like come to do the show, and it's gotten so big in a great way that sometimes people coming in don't know what the show is. Their reps have told them, like, go do it. It's a kid thing. They got a big kid audience and all this. So George R. Martin shows up, captain's hat and all, and it's like, hey, you know what this is? Nope. It's like fucking awesome. So,
how did you get Whoopi Goldberg to do a voice for this season or this past season?
Rat Race, I think, probably.
That's right.
Seth and Rat Race.
See? It's the incestuous universe that is Seth and Brecken.
Yeah. But every time, like, every time I'm doing a show or a movie or something, someone will come up to me, like one of the fellow cast members will come up, like, who hasn't been on the show, and be like, hey, I really want to do Robot Chicken. And it's great, because then I get to send them an email. It's like, oddly enough, this famous person wants to do the
show. I think that just happened. Was it Chris O'Donnell? I think that just happened. It was someone.
I'm not working with
Max Greenfield.
I met Max Greenfield, and he was like, I'd love to come do the show. And I'm like, I can't imagine we wouldn't want to have you on the show.
Yeah, I think Seth's favorite is CeeLo. Like, CeeLo saw him somewhere, and he's like, and like, Seth's like, oh, hey. And he's like, when the fuck am I going to be on Robot Chicken?
Be on Robot Chicken.
I'm like, all right, we can do that.
He's got small arms.
Yeah.
He knows.
And a head. But I noticed.
Fight it out.
She's already been threatening me all day.
Okay.
All right, so this is one random question, and maybe when I was watching season 5, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, it seemed like I never noticed this before, but it looked like there are parallels between some of the episodes where, let's say, between episodes 5 and 8 and 8 and 17, where you have two people who are robots with alter egos, then the gladiator scenario where there's horses and cars, and then the next one it's gladiators, then you have E.T. in two different episodes, and then the worst proctology exam ever that kind of repeated, so maybe I was just on drugs and noticed...
It might just be that we got lazy for a moment. We actually didn't realize. Now, you know, again, it's one of those things where, and it's hard in the writer's room, where, like, once you go down the rabbit hole of, like, talking about, say, E.T., and you come up with 1,000 E.T. things. Like, you were even saying with the Bane voice. Yeah. Once you come up, you see something that's funny, you just keep coming up with funny things, and then you're like, all right, we should only really pick the one. And then and you're like, but this other one's this really one funny, and I really want this Bane one, too. So you end up trying to do that, and then you'll spread them out over the season as opposed to putting them back to back. So that's probably what you saw, is that we saw something that's similar but different, and we wanted to get them out because we both thought they were both funny.
Okay, I thought there was some secret.
No. It's just, again, for us, it's more, it's just making what makes us laugh in the room is really what we write it for ourselves in a weird masochistic way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
I think you've.
He was next.
Okay.
Boba Fett's an iconic character that you've literally voiced to life.
Yep.
Is there any other stereotypically silent character that you would want to take on?
This is a good question. I'm trying to think of the popular silent characters of our era. No, you know, honestly, I think doing Boba, I mean, there's certain characters on Robot Chicken that I get to do, which is like, that's the only place I'm going to get to do it. It's, you know, Superman, Jesus, and Boba Fett. Boba Fett is always, I mean, it's one of everyone's favorite characters. Every boy growing up is like, I want to do Boba Fett. I don't know if I wrote the first Boba Fett sketch, but whenever the first Boba Fett sketch came down the pipe, it was like, no, there's not a question of who's doing it. I will literally fight you people to get to do the voice. And it just became so much fun. I mean, it's by far my favorite role I've ever done. On screen, off screen. I have so much fun with that. I'm thinking of that red evil robot from
what's that, black hole?
Oh my god.
That's the only silent that's the only silent character.
Oh my god.
Think of now that'd be like, maybe I'd voice him, but
Maximilian.
Is that what
you
was?
Like that?
There
you
go. I don't like the but yeah, no, he's kind of the end all be all.
Have any celebrities
someone's gonna trump you next.
Probably never gonna happen, but has there been talks among you guys to do like a Marvel special?
We've been talking about it all day.
I know.
It's all we want to do.
Yeah, we'll do it if they say, again, the thing with specials that people don't realize is the companies come to you. Like, So George called up and was like, hey, you want to do a special? Like, yeah. DC, Jeff Johns over calls up and was like, hey, you want to do a special? Like, yeah. So if Marvel calls up and wants to do a special, yeah.
Yeah. And it's a little complicated because of like who, like going up the chain. Because it's like Warner Brothers.
They're all owned by like, you know,
different
Marvel
companies.
Disney,
yeah.
Disney's with it, you know.
Mm-hmm. But yes, we would love to. And tell Jeff Loeb when you see him that we'd love to.
Our last question.
Yeah, has there been any negative response from any celebrities from the show?
You know, the only weird one, and I feel guilty for it, was Stevie Wonder.
You watch the show? You guys know he's blind. I didn't mean that.
Really wanted to get politically correct.
That's
now.
Why it's weird, exactly.
I felt bad.
His reps
called up and said they didn't like how he was portrayed, and it made us feel really bad. And
then we got over it super quick.
No, we still feel the guilt, but the sketch still stays.
What was the sketch?
It was Blind Double Dare.
Okay.
So.
And on that note.
Yeah, I'll leave you with that.
Thank you guys.